Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Episode 2, Season 2. My name is Unkwa Sonia, and I am back in my bag again. You can check out the podcast on Spotify, on Anchor, on Apple Podcasts, and on Podbean. If you want to join the show at any time, you can find me on Twitter at @N_ASONYE and on Instagram at _sometimesJR. Joining me this week, an aspiring master of all trades, visual artist, actress, singer, songwriter, more of a writer. She says she's still working on the singing part.
I tried songwriting, I think, between the phase of like 14 and 17. I just never showed anybody it.
I mean, people claim stuff from birth, so I think we can add that.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, the talented Alyssa Burgos joins me. Thank you for joining the
cast.
Thank
you for having me.
So, I have to give some background because somehow all levels of the show end up coming back to itself. Mm-hmm. Part of that is God. I think another part of that is just it has to be all God. I'm just going to leave it at that. Yeah. So, for those who are fans of the show that have been there since season one, which was only a few episodes, but yay, you were around for a season. That's great. Episode 3 was with the talented and very, very, very kind Lauren, known affectionately real life as Lauren Brown, part of Argon, but also creatively Lauren, who released her Cold Kingdom EP. To tell you how things turn around in a circle, if you joined us for episode 1, Xavier Whittington, for his show, Lauren's Cold Kingdom, the title track, is the theme to his upcoming show dropping later in June.
I did not know that.
And the best part about it is her birthday party, Lorenz, that is, was last week. And that is where I met this entirely talented human being. And the craziest thing about it is I looked to my right and I said, wait a second. I still need to figure out what I'm doing for a guest this week. Are you free this week? And she said, yeah, sure. And I was shocked that she remembered, because usually when things happen on Saturday nights, it's usually someone wakes up and goes, oh, that happened?
You're like, I promised that? Like, oh, wait, I'm actually not free.
And next thing I know, I just followed up. She's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. I said, oh, thank you, thank you.
Yay to keep in commitment.
Exactly.
I'm trying to stay committed with that, because there's times like I let my social anxiety get in the way with that kind of stuff.
Oof.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you didn't seem socially anxious that night. But to be fair, anxiety is a weird beast.
It's really weird. I think because that night, when I was on my way to the party, I just was kind of like, I'm just not going to get into it. Mm-hmm. You know? So you kind of could see why when I went to the party, I was like, because usually how I cure my social anxiety is like, let me help out. Let me do something. So I cannot remember her name. I'm so good with faces. I'm gonna remember everyone's faces. But names I'm not that great with. But
I'm actually better with names, faces. It's half and half. But if you're thinking of, let's see, the person who probably greeted you at the door.
Yeah, it was her cousin. It was
Paula.
Her cousin. Yeah, Paula. All right. Paula. Yes. I was just like, you know, like.
All the shout outs today. So Paula should be listening to this.
She should be listening to this. She was such a sweetheart. Mm-hmm. And so there's times like with my social anxiety, because I guess there's times, especially if I don't know people. Uh-huh. So I come from a big family. So I'm used to having a cushion. Mm-hmm. You know, either I'm with my sister or either with my brother. So I'm used to having like kind of like a safety net. So there's times, especially this year, I'm just like, yo, I need to just put myself out there. I want to meet other creatives. And I just kind of put, like, even if my social anxiety pops up, I legit named my anxiety Felicia. Because just to kind of make me laugh as a little, like, I guess, like a little trick to kind of, sometimes I just to make myself laugh at the situations, like, you know, I'm like, so there's times as a joke, I say, bye, Felicia. Like,
oh, man.
Just to kind of just be like, let's not give in to this.
That might be very useful, because I actually, browsing Instagram, I saw one of my friends from college. She named her anxiety Nelson.
So, okay, I'm not the only one who sometimes needs, like, to put a name on it.
And that might be very, I might have to try that.
Like, there's times, like, I think it's just easier, because there's times that I might feel like it all has to do about perspective. Mm-hmm. And there's sometimes I feel like putting a label on something kind of makes you kind of realize that you can kind of creatively figure out a way to manage it, you know? And so that's why it's like, I'm like, you know what? Every time, like, I hear, like, bye, Felicia, I laugh. And there's times with my anxiety, there's times I'm like, yo, like, my anxiety needs, like, is flaring up and she needs to leave me alone. Exactly. And suddenly if you laugh, I'm like, yo, Felicia, you just need to go. Like, bye. You know? So sometimes, like, you know, it kind of helps just to kind of, you know, at least for 5 seconds. Because exactly. I'm laughing at myself. And there's times I'm like, within my anxiety, learning how to manage it, I'm like, I'll take what I can get.
Now, you mentioned you come from a big family.
Yeah.
So let's see. What number, when it comes to the sibling hierarchy, I stay number one, even in a hierarchy of two. I'm the eldest. It is what it is. And, yeah, and she can't fight me. But what number do you fall in the sibling hierarchy?
Well, I mean, there's four of us total. But okay. The thing is that me and my sister share the baby title because we're twins.
Oh, Lord.
So, yeah. That answers your question. I mean,
so you're the babies and you're twins?
Yeah.
I mean, you got everything.
That's when I learned the concept of sharing, because that was my debt, you know, sharing. Because my parents would always just kind of be like, well, you're twins, you guys can share. I learned later as an adult, it was like, oh, budgeting. You know, my dad would be like, so we would, like, you know, we would share clothes, or sometimes sometimes if we're like all going to stop at the store for ice cream or something like that, they'll be like, oh, the twins can share, because we're little kids, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And so my dad would always praise it, like, yeah, you guys are gonna do this sisterly thing, because we're the only sisters in the family, and share. Wow. And so as I was older, I was like, oh, they kind of use that tactic because like, we need to budget.
Well, at least you didn't feel ripped off. Now, we were talking before we got started. There's always a sports angle to this. And you were a little nervous at first. But I just asked generally, like, what you were into. And turns out you told me about your dad being a big Yankees fan.
Yeah. My whole I think because, like, with sports, I've been surrounded by sports. I just never played sports. So, yeah, my brothers played basketball. I love baseball games. My grandfather is a huge Yankee fan. He never misses a game. He gets depressed when they mess up. He's very, like, he's a diehard Yankee fan. And my whole family is. And so even my brothers played for a little bit.
Nice.
But, like, every year, we would either go to, like, a Mets game or a Yankee game or even the Cyclones. So for me, like...
And how far are the Cyclones from here?
It's in Coney Island, so it's like 10 minutes away. So
okay, yeah. Like, gotcha.
I'm pretty sure if we go on my roof, we can see it from here.
Oh, that's dope!
Yeah, it's pretty close. So for me, like, I love baseball. Like, you know, I love watching it. Like, I do get into it when I'm seeing a live game. You know, like, even the first time, like, I met my boyfriend, Kai, so you met, our first conversation was me. I don't know how we got into it, but he was like, he still doesn't like baseball. But I explained it to him, like, you know, how the game plays with all the contents of my makeup bag as the players. And just, you know, because I'm like, I love baseball. I've even played, like, computer games of it. And I was like, you can hate something, but you need to know how it works. And so at the end of it, he was like, all right, I never had anyone explain to me so efficiently. And I get it. And he still doesn't like it. And I'm like, I really don't care. I'm like, as long as you know how it works, that's all I care about.
That's a fact.
But, you know, like, growing up, my sister was the only Mets fan. Die hard. Still to this day, just like my grandfather's a Yankee fan, she is with the Mets.
Why would she defect like this?
I don't really know. Like, at this point, I'm just like, I guess I'm Switzerland when it comes to New York City games. I'm just like, look, I just like, you know, for me, I'm just like family time. I love playing the game, like, not playing, I love watching the game,
right,
eating the garlic fries, you know, dancing with my siblings when there's a home run. Like, for me, right, you know, I kind of like, maybe because I've never really been competitive. Like, I work hard with my artistic stuff, but I'm not really, like, when it comes to other people, I'm not really competitive, if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
You know, at least not in, like, sports kind of competitive. As a kid, I was never like that, so I think that's why I never gravitated toward playing. But I do, like, because when you go to sporting events, there is, like, a community aspect to it. There is a family aspect to it, a bonding aspect to it, you know, hanging out with people. And I, so, like, for me, I'm like, that's kind of what I was associated with, because my family, we always went.
Now, interestingly enough, another great, if we, one of these days I'm going to make an episode that archives all of the warm-ups. Ashley coined the term, Alyssa, doggone it, it's Saturday all over again. But yep. Alyssa coined the term warm-ups for every time that, you know, I hop on and it gives us a chance to warm up before we put the show out. Mm-hmm. One of these days I'm going to pull out the warm-ups, just make a nice clip of it. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. But what I would like to know in particular, because we talked about in that warm up, the relationship between athletes and artists.
Mm-hmm.
What part of your experiences around baseball influence your work?
I'm going to be very honest. I'm not too sure. I don't know if, like, with baseball, it has been per se, but I think just because I had a brother who was really into basketball, mm-hmm. actually. And I think there was always practices, which as an actor is like rehearsals.
Oh, yeah.
And then outside of rehearsals, he's doing drills. He's in the backyard. He's either, you know, testing out his shots. I'm not really good with the lingo, you know, which is kind of like as an artist, you know, you're building up your fundamentals. You actually have to practice that, because I feel like you can't be talented, but it's also talent is hidden practice right. that people don't see. You know, and then just real silver being really, really disciplined in your craft. That's how I kind of feel. That's how I feel like there's a connection between an athlete and an artist. Mm-hmm. I don't really have anything that's to do with baseball related, because it would be baseball related, I kind of see more of like family bonding, which is a separate thing for me.
So I guess what part of that, maybe not the baseball part specifically, but like the feelings that were that are around those experiences that you had. Are there parts of those that you pour into your work? Even if it's one or two pieces.
One or two. I think just trying to stay, I think for me, because I stay in my head a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll daydream a lot of different things. Because, with, you know, you can kind of get carried away, like, with an artistic idea. You can think so much about it, but you actually have to put it into action,
right?
You know, and then there's times where I feel kind of like as an athlete, it's important to kind of keep the consistency of creating.
Absolutely.
You know, kind of like you know, if you're like a athlete, you know, even off season, you have to do some sort of training, even if you have no game coming up. And I kind of feel like as an artist, it's kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, like, yeah, that's it. I mean, like, with sports, I was kind of like, it was always like my brother's type of thing. So I was always kind of like always a supporter, mm-hmm. and an active like player. And I think the only thing that I took is just more of like how diligent they were with like their drills, like outside of practice. Mm-hmm. And there's practice, it's like, you know, they're just practicing drills over and over and over again. And I feel like as an artist, like with drawing, and as like an actor, it's very important to stay sharp. And there's times I feel like we kind of I rely on either a performance or something like that, right. where it's like people are gonna see me, and that's when I'm like, okay, now I have to start doing this, and then I have to start preparing. Uh-huh. I'm like, but what about the times where it's quiet? You know, and so that's why I kind of I'm also an actor, but I also gravitated toward like I draw, like my art, so because it's important for me to just stay creatively consistent, so at least I always have that outlet to come back to,
right?
Because with acting, it's not as consistent. Yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, but
that
yeah.
actually did, no, that actually did, because now we can go into the more fun part of this. When did you first figure out that art was going to be something that was always gonna be part of your life?
Oh, I feel like I just always knew. So I've been, as long as I can remember, I was either drawing or writing, like, I think since, like, the age of 7.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm gonna be, like, really real with you.
Go ahead.
Like, I'm gonna say, like, I'm, like, an open book when it comes to, like, my story. So that's why you said you feel comfortable talking about R. Kelly if it comes up.
Okay.
Was because art for me was, as a child, I used that as a term of, like, self-rescue. So I was sexually abused for a long period of time as a child.
Wow.
So for me, as much as a source of self-rescue, I was drawing and I was writing a story like every single week. Like I'd go to my mom or whoever, and I was creating like a story or drawing. Like, so as long as I can remember, I was always creating something. And I was also homeschooled, so my parents were very supportive of artistic endeavors. So my mom always made an effort to make sure like I was either in a dance class or a singing class or taking a drawing class and things like that. So my artistic interests were always strengthened, I feel like, so my parents supported it. And when it came towards college, because I was always creating. Mm-hmm. So I came to thinking about college, I was in theater and art class at the time. So I was actually leaning towards art school, but instead I decided, because my dad passed away when I was 17. Mm. So at that time I was like deep into theater. And I think because it was theater for me was just a safe outlet for like my emotions. And also I love telling stories.
Yeah.
And I love like I can use my experiences to, you know, as a human, you know, my personal experiences to create a story. And I feel like stories are very healing, that, you know, I'm being of service to help tell this story for who knows, whatever this person is, needs to hear it. And it was, for me at the time, it was just like a big distraction of what I was going through. And then I was also writing at the time, so those two things went hand in hand. And that's when I was like, no, I want to train to be an actor. Mm-hmm. And then since then, I just always been kind of like, look, when I was a kid, I was always creating consistently, and I just want to keep that consistency as I did as a kid, as I do as an adult, because I always feel more balanced, and there's no way around it. I'm an artistic soul.
Yeah.
There's like no way around it. And so for me, I just think that's very important, and especially for my, just like my inner child, like she always loved to draw, like she loved to creating her own world. And so by trying to pursue a creative career, I'm honoring my inner child, which for me is a very important relationship.
When you talk about how your work was an escape from what you were going through, how did you manage to shift that focus? Because people can get distracted with a lot of different things, mm-hmm. and either continue not to do that thing or be distracted enough to do a bunch of other stuff that they don't want to do. But how did your focus get honed into your inner child in those moments?
Therapy. I have to say, like, a lot of my training as like an actor really reminded me on how it's really just kind of goes down to like effort. Mm-hmm. And just trying to create that consistency. And I was like, I was already doing it, like just drawing all the time. And so I was just kind of like, and I'm a very ambitious person, especially like with my acting career. And I'm like, let's be real with myself. I'm like, this is only going to happen unless I offer consistency, which is, with training as an actor, when you're training as an actor, you kind of have to confront a lot of the things that you don't want to see about yourself. Mm. Like, I'm a conflict avoider. I realize, oh, yeah, it's hard for me to commit to consistency for myself, you know? And so, and then also with the help of therapy, you know, I think it's helpful to have another person to, you know, call you out on your, I don't want to curse, but you know, you guys know what I mean. You know, to kind of just, you know, call you out or just kind of remind you like, oh yeah, because there's times I'm like, I need a little guidance, you know? And I mean, I'm still not getting it right. I'm just more of like, I just try to tell myself, like, just try to stay consistent.
Now, when consistency can come in a lot of different forms, and it's hard to do it across all of those disciplines. So how? Because there are a lot of people who can do a lot of things, but it's almost like the kind of player you want to avoid in a sports video game that's really good at one thing,
but you're running around like a chicken without a head and don't get anything done.
Bingo.
Honestly, I call my 20s like like my foundation. Like I'm renovating my life. You know, so right now, I guess the building block that I'm on right now is I'm trying to pick an outlet that I can be consistently creatively fulfilled. So like my drawing per se, because it's something that all I just need is a notebook and a pen. And so there's times I'm like, all right, at what time during the day can I do this? And a lot of my drawings are actually small. Like they're either like the largest, they're like 8x10 is because I'll draw on the train. Mm-hmm. I have to travel over an hour to work. So that's why I was like, okay, let me do that and draw. And there's even times when I'm home and I'll either like add color, or there's times I'm like, look, if I can be on my phone, I can draw. You know, and then from there, just try to, you know, there's other things that that the more that I do it and, you know, I finish like some drawings, you know, like there's other things I can add on Instagram. And now, you know, it's growing in different ways.
Right.
And now I'm at this point where I'm getting back to like auditioning again. So I'm like, okay, so I have to, you know, so for me right now, I'm like starting to read monologues, and I'm like, I have to start practicing monologue. So, you know, a lot of my time is like creating lists and trying to think of things that I can do. So right now it's like, okay, so now that I have my art, that foundation, that system already set up, so I need to be creatively fulfilled, I just need to go back to my notebook. So when I have the frustration of like not getting auditions or acting's at where I go to, I can get my energy back by being like, all right, pause. You know, there's like, I'm right now, I have to finish a piece for someone that bought a painting. So I'm like, all right, okay, I can do that. And then, so right now I'm trying to work on this year in 2019, I'm trying to be consistent with my writing and with my auditioning. And with my auditioning, I had to address how to manage my anxiety. And that was something that I was like, I actually have to take time from auditioning and address this issue, because I'm self-sabotaging myself by giving in to my anxiety when it comes to auditions. So while I was addressing that issue, because I always need to create something. Like, I used to feel so bad if I wasn't working on a project or something. Like, I don't know why. And so, you know, so that's why I was just kind of like, as a placeholder, I had my art. I have always have something to come back to. And for me, so I can keep my strength going and have, it's hard to be an artist. So to have my resilience, I'm like, I have something that I can fall back on.
I hear that.
And that's my art. So, because for me, I'm like, I just kind of want to make sure that no matter what stage of my life is in, if I have to take a break from auditioning, like I just did last year, I'm like, I'm still creating something. I still have a body of work that I can look back on and being like, yeah, this is what I did.
So about the acting, what's your favorite genre to operate in?
Drama.
And why? Oh,
drama.
Lord. Oh, why, but, why?
Oh, I just, maybe because my acting teacher, Terry Knickerbocker, he said like that actors were adrenaline junkies.
He's not wrong.
Like, he's not wrong. Like, you know, in life, there's some dramas that I'm like, oh, man, I wish that wasn't my life. But as an actor, I'm like, wait, I get to have this experience. Like, whoa. You know, I get to have this. I get to live this experience out from beginning to end. And then, you know, when you're an actor, as soon as the scene's over, you're like, you know, you can either just be like, all right, I went through a traumatic thing, but hey, that's not real. You know, be like, okay, you know, and then it's over. Like, you know, it's kind of like yeah. So I love drama. Also very, very dramatic. You know, I also have a lot of feelings. So there's times I love acting because it's just the space where no emotion is too much, no behavior is too much, as long as it's an honor to the text. And as a, I guess, like, I'm very sensitive, a lot of emotions. And so I guess for me, it was so freeing to, I guess, acting. It's like, it's a space where that's welcomed and that's okay, you know. I mean, I do love comedy as well. It's funny because I still write plays. I just haven't finished a project yet in the past 2 years. But a lot of my writing, people are like, you're such a good comedic writer. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, I don't know. You're just a little bit surprised. But people's like, yeah, you're a very good like comedic writer. And I'm like, I am a sassy person. So I guess like, you know, that's what comes up. But it's funny. I'm like acting. I'm like, I love drama. I'm like, let me get into it. Let me get my hands dirty. You know, like like with drama, I just go in head first.
Do you care if you're the protagonist or the antagonist?
Not really. I'm just more of like, I'm like, I just want to make sure that it's an honest character. Because the villain doesn't know he's the villain. Sometimes in the movie. Ooh, I feel like there's
don't tell to... Disney. Don't tell Disney.
No, but I'm talking as the words of an actor. You're just playing for the humanity of it. You know, because it's just like the villain, like, you know, if you're playing the villain, you know, like the villain might not know he's a villain because in his brain, he's just if he feels like these actions are valid. But the people who's watching it, it's just like, yo, that's really messed up. Why is he acting that way? But as the actor, if you're putting that judgment on there, can like.
You might not be able to play it right.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm getting at. So there's times I'm like, I just kind of feel like, as a woman, I just want to make sure that I'm not being exploited sexually.
That's a big fact.
You know, I just want to make sure, like, because I've been given small parts before, and because of my ego, I've been like, how do I only have this many lines? And I'm just like, well, what's your part in the story? Like, what's your part in this story? Like, you know, if you're, because at the end of the day, it's really just bringing the story to life, you know. So there's times I'm just more of like what's the experience? I kind of think of it like, what's the experience? Can I have fun with this character? Can I bring this character to life? So there's times, like, for me, maybe because it's just not helpful, mm-hmm. to focus on how many lines do I have, is this bigger, like, you know, because there's times I'm like, if I'm in that mindset, it's just not helpful for me. It's just not. I can't work efficiently if I'm in that, because then I start, you know, second guessing myself, and then I start worrying about other people, and then there's times I'm like, no, like, do your job.
Right.
Do your job.
What's been your favorite role to date that you've done?
I'm trying to think back. Honest, okay. Well, this wasn't a scene that I did in acting school.
Though. Okay.
I'm only going to say how fun it was. I did, there is a curse in the title, though.
We'll be okay.
I'm just letting you know. Called Motherfucker with the Hat.
Oh, wait. Now I need a synopsis of this play.
Motherfucker with the Hat. Yeah, Chris Rock was in it. And so,
Chris Rock was in it?
Yeah. This is the Broadway show with Chris Rock.
Oh, wow.
And so it is about... I'm trying to remember, because I don't remember what mine scene was. That was the opening scene. So the scene, it's about this man. He just got out of, you might have to edit this, because I remember my scene more than the entire play.
Is if it's in the scene, you know what, at this point.
Yeah, so basically. Who cares? Yeah, so I had to play like a coke addict, and I'm cleaning my apartment, talking to my mom on the phone, because I just finished cheating on my boyfriend.
Who comes in
after I'm cleaning, and he's coming in, he's on top of the world because he just got a job. He's been looking for a job, and he's finally you know, he got a job, and he's like we can finally be someone. And so I'm like, all right, let's celebrate, let me shower, because, you know, I've just cheated on him. We got a shower. And so when I come back, he's like, he notices there's a hat on the chair, and he starts smelling the bed. And he comes in, and he's like, why does it smell like aqua velvet and dick? And wow. It's just like, and then it's just, and this character, she's so opinionated. She's like, I would say like her spirit animal would be like a parrot, like very loud, very like, no, a macaw. Like, she's very, like, so then she starts fighting with him because, you know, she's like kind of being like, what are you talking about? Like, you're just making stuff up. So it escalates to like this huge fight. And he's also a recovering alcoholic.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it's just like, you know, all stakes. Like, in real life, this is like, okay, this is bad. But it just escalates like this. So it was just a lot of fun. I think 'cause I had the space to be free. It was just... I had the most fun with that because it was also very, very challenging, because I had to stretch all the way to the end of like my temperament, where I had to be comfortable with my anger.
Oh, wow.
Especially, which is kind of hard for me to just to fully embody, you know? And so I had to really get in touch with my anger. And it was also like trying to overcover, because I was angry because I was trying to hide my guilt. So for me, I'm like, that's such an interesting experience, you know, and he's trying to call me out. And I'm just like, no, no, no. And then trying to like pick a fight with him. Like, I'm even saying disses there. It's just so comical. The disses are in there. Like, I even like yell about his mother. Like, I'm trying not to get caught. Yeah. You know, which is something that I would never do in real life. I'm like, I'm not a conflict avoider. And so something that's just totally opposite of me. At the end of it, I'm just kind of like, do you want to just get pie? Like, let's just forget about this. Like, you want to just go get some pie?
And what did he say?
Yes. He's like, okay, then we go get pie. You know, and so, yeah, I think, like, one of my favorite, like, parts I did was, like, in acting school, because I really was tested. Because then after that, I also had to play a part. It was called The Crack Walker, where I had to be this retarded woman. She had, like, the brain of, like, a 7-year-old.
Okay.
And so that was just also like a very, very fun scene. But yeah, I just love drama. I'm like, just do something that not just over the top, but something that I have to embrace fully. And so I have to commit and go forward. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does. It does. Especially when it comes to being artistic, period. Mm-hmm. If you don't commit, You're kind of wasting your time.
Yeah, I think I like to be tested in that way, because there's times I think to commit like to something that's like almost it's like a larger than life type of thing, but you have to commit to it so it has like an honest experience. And so for me, there's times that intimidates me, because there's times I come across as like, you're being too much. You're taking this sensitive. Like, this is like my life, this experience as a person. So there's times I have to remind myself when I'm acting, I'm like, that issue kind of comes up, even though it shouldn't. I'm kind of putting my shit into it. So that's why there's times I'm like, I think that's the part of me that I always have to confront. And so there's times I'm like, there's a part of me that I'm like, give me something that challenges me, that I have to be like, no, I have to put this part aside of myself and focus on this and commit to it 100%.
That's not an easy thing to do. It's so not. as a fellow artist who has to work to keep the lights on, how do you manage the time and manage to still shoot for the stars, do what you got to do, and not lose your mind?
Oh man, I feel like for the past like 5 years, I've been changing career stuff, because every year I have to be like, is this job helping me or giving me the time to do my creative pursuits? Like, I'm filing at this office job. It's part-time, but you know, it's because all the other jobs I was doing before, because I was always freelance, I was a fitness instructor for a while. I think I was talking about this at Lauren's party on Saturday. It was a lot of jobs that involved my extroverted energy.
And that's exhausting.
Yes, especially because I get my energy by solitude, hanging out by myself, you know, or just being like very, very like chill, you know. So by the time I was like, I had like an audition, I was just mentally drained, because all the extroverted energy that I had was going to my survival jobs.
Right.
So that's why after a while I had to be like, oh, okay, these are not working for me. Now what? So then I went to hospitality. Same thing.
Oh man, especially with terrible, terrible customers.
Yeah, and so because at the time I was like, oh, I can work nights, because I'm like, okay, I can have my auditions during the day, and I don't have to be at work till like late afternoon. So I work from like 4 to like 11 o'clock, you know, something like that. So I'm like, okay, that's a good enough time for like my auditions, things like that. I work weekends, TV and film. We don't film at the time. That's fine. Same thing. I'm like, oh, this is a lot of extroverted energy.
Yeah, a lot of extroverted.
And so it's a lot of like, I mean, I'm finally like relieved that I finally found a system that I'm okay with, that I'm actually able to make more time. And I also have a very supportive boss. I'm very blessed that I work for an acupuncturist. So I do that part-time, patient coordinator, and it's like, I also love wellness. Like, I like that a lot of, I feel like my energy is safe there because one, I'm taking care of people who are on their journey to healing. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, if I can be of service to that, I have a little bit of fulfillment to that. So I don't mind that the time I'm taking out of my artistic pursuits, I can do that. And then also it's like office stuff. So I actually can check my email to apply for work. Nice. You know what I mean? Like, cause I also, I'm part of the actors union. So when I'm not at my office job, I'm also doing background for TV shows or stand-in work, you know, so I can supplement an income.
Right.
You know, so, you know, so I have freedom with that because it's like assignment based. So like today I knew we're doing the podcast. I was like, all right, I'm going to make sure I'm not doing background work. So, you know, I can actually keep the day open.
You did that for me?
Yeah. Like, wow. That's just me for like with my creative pursuits. That's why I like to have like a job like that. Then I'm like, okay, because like, you know, because in a way this is something I need to do this. I need to meet creatives. I need to network. I need to be part of other people's, you know, projects. You know, if I can help contribute to that, that's what I want to do as an artist. Exactly. So, you know, so that's why I'm just like, so that's why you're like, I did this for you. Be like, this is just what I do. I'm able to be able to do this with my time. And so that's why I was like, with background work, I'm like, all right, you know, it works. It's like all last week I was on set, you know. So
are
it's
you
like
allowed to say what show?
I can't wait. I'll just want to tell you the episode because I don't even remember the episode name right now. I was on the TV show The Code.
Whoa.
CBS.
Okay.
Did it air yet?
I don't sure watch it, yet. But it's a show on CBS, so I'm already intrigued.
Yeah. So I'm not quite sure if season one is already out. It might be. But yeah, I was doing that last week. And then, and the week before I was working Orange is the New Black.
Nice.
So yeah, like I do it for a lot of TV shows. So there's times like, oh, if you ever meet me on set, I have my laptop because I'm also working while I'm on set.
Of course. Because
that's why I like doing background work. So that's why for me, when I choose work for my survival job, I'm like, I either make sure that I'm flexible at my time because like with my office job, my boss is very supportive. So if I even need to take time off of set and like take time off the office so I can be on set. And, you know, she even told me, she's like, when she first hired me, she says, you can have access to the schedule. So if you need to see what the day looks like the next day so you can do acting work, let me know. Because if you need to take off, like she fully supports it. So having a boss that even for auditions, I'm like, I tell her, like, I need to be out at this time. Like, we will work. She's willing to work together. So, you know, so it works out for her. I'm not leaving her in a bad place, but she's not keeping me from my pursuits because she knows at the end of the day, she's like, I'm an actress. Like, even when like I get free acupuncture too.
Of course.
She's like, I'm like really blessed. I really have like a really, really supportive boss. Her name is Juliet Ayana. If anyone needs holistic care,
my hand is up because I've never had acupuncture, amazing. But now I want to do it.
It's amazing. Yeah. So I put my occupation receptionist and she's like, no, you are an actress. She's like, own up to it. You are an actress. She's like, or an artist. She's like, when people like ask you what you do, she's like, you can tell them this as you want, but you know, she's like, you're an artist. And I'm like, wow, she really supports me. Wow.
Does she want to run ads? Because I feel like, nah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah. And I think my insurance covers it too. I'm dead going. What?
Yeah, so I'm just like, holy crap. I'm like, man, like, I was like, one day, like, it hit me. I'm like, I'm really lucky. I'm like, I have a supportive boss, you know? So that's why I think for me, because I spent so much time making sure my survival jobs, I knew what I needed from a survival job, you know? And through trial and error, I'm finally, I don't know, like, at a pretty good place. Even though it's hard, like all last week, I was at least on set between 12 hours to close to 16 hours.
Wow.
Every day. And so, like, it's hard, but, you know, and so I just make it work. But I'm like, at least I have an office job where I really do like the work. I feel emotionally safe when I'm there. Mm-hmm. You know, I love her patients. They're the sweetest people. And I'm in a small way, I'm kind of helping people. Because they're on a journey for their own healing. So that's why I'm just kind of like, if I can make it easy as possible with scheduling, you know, I'm like, because I deal with anxiety. I know sometimes with, like, you know, these small details, it's kind of helpful if you can have someone else to do them for you.
Right.
You know, so that's why I'm just like, I'd rather do that than try it, than pass out a flyer.
Oh, for fuck.
You know, like, so I'm kind of glad that I have a change of pace between, like, my jobs, you know.
So, I walked into a place where I saw art all over the place. And I asked Ashley, and these pictures will go up on Instagram once the episode drops. I wanted her to show me her favorite. I think I said, how many? Three of your favorite pictures, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me to pick a favorite.
We'll talk about all of them.
So, I picked the ones that I'm like, because a lot of my stuff has to do with, like, an expression.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to tell you, like, I'm going to just tell you a little bit of, like, what I was emotionally going through when I saw this photo, when I was drawing this.
All right.
Let me see. I'm going to pick one that I'm like, did I?
Excellent. All right.
All right. So this one.
This first one.
Ooh.
Stands.
I think it just wanted a hug. So this one I actually drew when I was having, well, the original sketch. I drew this because I was having an anxiety attack.
Oh, wow.
In Starbucks. Like the silent ones, the crippling ones.
No!
No one will know that you're going through this. But yeah, so I was like, this is like the year that I was like, yo, I need to make a switch with my survival jobs. So I was doing my extroverted tank was running low. I was in the Starbucks on the one, it was like, cause I was working at Madison Square Garden doing promos.
Oh Lord.
Which is a lot of like energy. And so a lot of
like, were you on court for these?
No. I was working for, at the time, I think I was working for Kia Cars. So, you know, okay, when you come in, you have someone either asking you to do like, hey, you want to do a survey for a
chance to be on the ice?
So you have to be like very, very extroverted. And that's why they hire actors to do it. So when I first got into it, I was like, you're going to pay me $20 an hour just to like, you know, just kind of like,
just be there, just be around.
Just be there, yeah. Be peppy, and just kind of just be like, because you're giving something free. So there's times I'll just be like, hey, you guys want a free giveaway? You know, that requires a lot of energy because you're constantly being rejected and trying to get people's attention.
Yeah, that's tough.
And so it was a huge learning experience for myself because I was like, I didn't understand this was anxiety while I was drawing it. I just kind of remembered. I was just like, I just had a lot of nervous energy that I didn't know what to do with it. And so I couldn't write. Sometimes, like, I journal a lot. That wasn't helping. So I'm just sitting, like, I think I was close to the window next to the staircase.
Oh, my.
And just, like, drawing because it just kind of felt, like, so crippling. Like, so it was actually, so how you see now, it was actually one-sided. So this is the front page and this, and then I drew behind it.
Oh, wow.
And so, because I was just kind of feeling, I'm like, because it was like just this pins and needles, like inside of me, like tingling feeling that I was just kind of like, I need to get this energy out, but I don't know how. And I also kind of feel like I couldn't talk at the same time. So if someone asked me if I was okay, I would have been probably, if you were paying attention, I'm on the blink of tears. I'm like, oh no, I'm fine. You know?
Yeah.
And so I just kind of just started like, drawing. I kind of just felt like the only way like I was going to be able to get out of it if someone either like shook me or I don't know. So I was just kind of like, I need to wait till this feeling like goes away before, like, I think it was like 10 minutes before work, and then just being like, all right, just gotta tune out. And just, it's only like, this time it's like mind over matter. Okay, you only have to work for 3 hours. There's a 4-hour shift, but let's be real, y'all really just work for two because that's when the gates close, and then, you know, then you just gotta talk to some people, or there's not as many people, the rush is gone. So, you know, so to whoever, like, you know, someone walks by every 10 minutes and you have to be like, hey, how are you doing? Okay, you don't want to? All right, that's fine.
Yeah.
So I was like kind of like bargaining with myself, like, all right, you just got to keep it together.
Right.
For the most, in 4 hours, you can go home. But, you know, like, in 4 hours, you can go home. Like, and then I'm like, this isn't working. And then I'm like, okay, think about it this way. Like, you really just have to just kind of fake it and, you know, be outgoing for just 2 hours. And then, you know,
that's
you're
it.
Fine. And I went back to therapy, and that's the year that I was like, oh, this is anxiety. This is what anxiety feels like.
Oh, boy.
Like, I really did not know how to put a name for it at the time. And so.
What do you call this?
This is just called anxiety. A lot of my work doesn't have titles. I actually, like, this is called Color Series Number 10. A lot of it just doesn't have titles because I'm bad with name. I'm just not good with titles because I feel like in a way it's trying to define something that I feel is just hard to define. Because a lot of it is just, how do I explain it? Because a lot of my illustrations, in order to like process, especially during a time where I was addressing a lot of like my inner demons, mm-hmm. especially when it came to like my sexual abuse, it was a lot of things that I realized I need to rewire myself, meaning like I was responding too much in survival mode for a situation that wasn't happening for like about 10 years. And I was treating people that way. How I was seeing myself was that way. And in acting school, that's when I really had to come to terms with that. And I'm like, this is self-love. It's the transition, just having to rewire. And a lot of my art, how it started was just expressions of that. I'm like, this is the page, the art, the piece of paper, the page is where I can just put my, it's a really a space of empathy. I can put all my inner demons, my triggers. That's why there's a lot of faces. Because a lot of my drawings, I don't have a set image in mind. It's a lot of I just kind of keep drawing and I just keep going, and it's just by instinct. If I see a face, I'm like, all right, this is direction I'm going. So it's also kind of gave me a tool to just trust myself, mm-hmm. and just being like, it's okay that I don't know what the final outcome will be. I'll know when it's done. And so it actually took me 2 years to add color.
Wow.
To them. Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of it, that's my example here. So this is like, because a lot of my stuff was like, this is an MTV, this came out of like an MTV notebook.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so this is the same exact one. This one, I said this one I just made. It's kind of like, I guess, like a coloring book. I scanned it. I made a black and white copy of it. And then I added color to it and put it on a canvas. Because this is like notebook paper. Like, it's very fragile. It's like binder paper, you know. So this is what I drew actually during like my acting program. So I guess this was like my acting notes. Because mm-hmm. I learned about myself. And like, in order to process stuff, I need to draw. Because I'm also... I just feel everyone's energies. Like, if you're going through something, I'm going to feel it.
Right.
You know, or I'm emotionally, I can be there with you. You know.
You're an empath.
Yeah, I'm an empath, exactly like that. And so that's why there's times like, as I said earlier, I'm like, I'm a firm believer that you, when you're watching other people doing things, like in my acting school, it was a big group thing. Like, you do your work, but you're not working when you're working when you're actually not working. You're working like when you're watching other people. So making sure that everyone gets your undivided attention, you know, and it's long. Sometimes class went up to like 4 hours. We had breaks, though. Okay, maybe three. But there's times like class always
That's
went late. Yeah, this times like class went late. And, you know, like my teacher called is like a wall, like it's a hall of mirrors, you know, because you'll see yourself in other people. You actually see people overcome things that you're like, I needed to overcome that. And watching you do it gave me the courage to do what you did, or it gives me the power of being like, oh, wait, I have that same power.
Okay.
You know, in order to kind of process all of that. And also, I was like 20 years old, and there's a lot of people who are older than me. So there's kind of like, I'm like, what do I do with this? So I drew.
That's real.
So I drew, and I just kept up with that practice, kind of like as a yogi, they have their own practice they do every day. Uh-huh. You know, so that's kind of how I treated like my drawing. Like, I only work with a pen because I knew if I had a pencil, I was going to keep erasing, because I had to address my perfectionism with that. So I just, you know, so at least with a pen, it's like I have to work whatever is on the page, you know. And so it was kind of a tool that I used to kind of help me trust myself and also not worry about the outcome before it came. So I'm like, it's too early. Like, this, like, you know, a lot of these drawings people ask me, they're like, well, how did you come up with this image? I'm like, I'm like, it's kind of spontaneous. It was just more of like, I'm like drawing scribbles, and I would draw a scribble or just make whatever marking I wanted to until I saw a face. And then like the first thing that I saw, I just went with it. I didn't question it. I was like, all right, just keep going and keep going, keep going, until there's a part of you that's going to say, we are here.
I like that.
And just for me, a lot of my stuff with embracing my art, meaning with my drawings, I learned a lot on how I get in my own way with my other pursuit, artistic pursuits.
Oh, and what did you learn?
Oh, okay. So I'm going to tell you about my most recent one. Because I want to start playing with size, like creating bigger pieces of work.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of my stuff is like, and it's like a 8x10 or a little notebook, you know. So I realize that I give up on my ideas too soon.
Oh,
so when
I feel triggered, because that's me right now.
Yeah, like coming with, like, you know, especially with ideas where you actually, that your ideas need time to develop. I will kill the idea before it has a chance to fully breathe. Oof. And there's times, because I realized I was right, like, you know, with my writing, there's times like halfway through developing a story idea, I'm like, I have an idea for another one. And then I'll start doing that. And then I was in a class and like my teacher was like, kind of like, why do you keep doing that? And I'm just like, no, I just don't think the story, like that idea works. And she's just kind of looking at me like, well, that's what developing is. Like, you got to keep developing the idea. So with my art, I realized, because there's times I was like, I would just get so frustrated that I would have to like FaceTime my cousin being like, I don't want to do this. I'm like, I'm getting mad at myself, because I'm like, why did I sign up to do this? Because I need to be committed to finishing it.
Right.
Because a lot of my stuff, like the markings, it's very, you know, tedious. Like, I have to keep repeating
over and over.
You know, and then I just kind of realized, I was like, oh, wow, I don't really fully trust my ideas. I don't give myself the opportunity. I don't really give my ideas a chance, which is, I shouldn't do that. Right. You know, that's not, that's me getting in my own way, you know? And it's also, I guess, because I tend to be a perfectionist. Right. And I just realized, I'm like, I judge myself too fast. There's times I'm like, when I need to trust myself the most, I don't. I start doubting myself, and I'm like, oh, so this is my weak area.
Got
it. Oh, this is my weak area. So it's kind of funny on how, like, with committing to a drawing idea, because it was actually on a small piece of paper, and I was like, oh, I actually, you know, I want to recreate it. And when I was recreating it, I started to doubt my artistic ability, because it wasn't coming out how I wanted to.
Ooh.
You know, it was a lot of things like that I had to address, and I was like, oh, so that's why with acting, that kind of gets in my way when it comes to like character ideas. I have a problem fully committing to it, because I'm like, oh, I don't think this is a good idea. Or I start second guessing the idea, and I'm too busy second guessing it instead of being fully committed to it to actually give it a full chance before I can decide if it works or not. I kind of shoot down the idea early before I give it a full chance.
Because
there's times like I do, like there's a chance, like, you know, it happens. You know, you have an idea and you execute it and the idea doesn't work, you know. But I'm like, wait, I'm kind of expecting already not to work. And mm-hmm. I'm shooting myself in the foot doing
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I'm shooting myself in the foot. So I'm like, oh, that's why I have a lot of stuff that I just don't finish.
That makes sense. Do you ever go back? I find myself doing this sometimes too, with just ideas and things like that. Heck, this whole podcast was I quit. Nah, let me reevaluate this all over again. Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself looking back at that past work and going, maybe this will work if I refigure it this way? Because I already, thanks to you, I already have an idea returning of something I wrote and I hate it. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I can run with this concept after all.
Yeah, I'm just gonna go back with like my drawings that too, because there's times I get so frustrated with it, so I'm just like, and this is where we close the notebook
and we walk
away. And then so that's why there's like, I'll have like five drawings going on at the same time, not the same time, but I'll draw something, then I'll be like, all right, I just need to take a break, because there's times like I need to come back in a new perspective, perspective and then I see it. A lot with my writing too. There's times I was like, I'm learning not to delete everything, just more of like, keep it somewhere else. Because there's times I've gone back and looked at it and I'm like, oh man, this actually, I see how this could have worked. I was just looking a little bit too closely and in the wrong angle that I was like, no, this is canceled. This is not gonna work. Like, no. Like, I'm just tearing down the idea instead of just being like, all right, take space, get back to it. You know, so that's why I'm learning not to. If I come across a wall, and just be like, all right, I'll come back to it later.
Right.
I'll come back to it later. And then also there's times I'm learning, I'm like, you know what, there's times I just need to find inspiration somewhere else. So I'm just kind of learning to, when I take a break, either sometimes I go and just indulge in, I guess, in someone else's work. I just start feeding my soul. I guess, like, looking at my favorite artist or watching a movie or listening to music, you know, doing, like, maybe trying to find another medium. So at least, you know, going to another, like, headspace and then coming back to it was most rational, like, more of, like, trying to, like, you know, kind of like being an editor, like being real with myself, being like, all right, does this idea work or not?
Right.
You know, and I think there's times as an artist, because you're working by yourself, you know, because there's times, like, it's helpful when you have another person being like, no, this is good, you can do this. But when you're working by yourself, I think we have to remember, we have to allow ourselves more time.
Right.
We have to allow ourselves more time, just being like, all right, this doesn't work. Well, like, again, talking with me, you're like, I actually got an idea exactly. To do something else. So there's times I'm like, don't give up on it yet. Maybe, like, in like 3 years, you know, you can have an idea for it, because I don't know, maybe something is in your human experience or whatever, you're able to, I don't know, do something with it, you right. know.
Yeah, I'm feeling an idea for a collective in the works here. If someone's going to listen to this and try and jump on it, just don't take all the credit, please. But
make it your own. Make an effort to make it your own if you're gonna.
Exactly. Or you could just make the invite and it could be all fishing and cool, mm-hmm. whatever. Anyway. What would you say? I know it's only January, mm-hmm. but if there was a takeaway lesson that's already started for you this year, what is it?
I can't be afraid to put myself out there. Like, yeah, that's my thing. I can't be afraid to put myself out there. I feel like I've been hiding too long.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, it's just more of, not being afraid of putting myself out there and being okay with not knowing how to explain my art.
Yes.
You know, just kind of, you know, my boss told me this, that I think it was David Lynch who said, just because I don't know what my art is about doesn't mean anything to me.
Oof.
I might not say it word for word, but that's the gist of the quote. Please look it up. But it's just more of saying, like, just because I don't know what it means, doesn't mean it doesn't have meaning to me. And there's times I feel the pressure of having to explain it, even though it's kind of, I don't know, I have to be okay with
letting it be open to interpretation.
Exactly. And just be like, you know, if that's how you feel about this, how you feel about it. But also just for me, also just not being afraid to put myself out there. So I'm like a turtle. I tend to hide, man. I hide. So this year I'm just more of like, you know, like Nike. Just do it.
Woo.
Just do it.
And the extra sports tie-in. Yeah. I love it.
You just do it. Even though it's like, oh, people have done this before. And I'm like, yeah, but you haven't done before. You have a perspective to offer. And things like that, you know, like there's still more work that is involved, mm-hmm. but there's times I'm just kind of like, you know, see it through, you know, put some work towards it, you know, try to see if it works. And if it doesn't, you know, that's why there's other ideas. I'm gonna have so many ideas, but learning on how to go for a test run. If no one sees it, okay, that's fine. Start something else. Like, it's okay. You learn a lot from failure. I don't think we want to admit that, but we learn a lot from failure.
Now, this brings me to, I think, probably our final question of the night. What is your view on inspiration versus borrowing versus stealing, where artistry is concerned? Because I feel like that's a line that gets blurred a lot.
Borrowing? Borrowing, stealing. Okay. I feel like inspiration. I think inspiration is like you take an element of something. And sometimes I just feels like you just see something and then it kind of inspires. I don't know if it's like a trigger or something that's in your memory bank that just kind of gives you the freedom to whatever you were holding back to go forward. I feel like borrowing is more of like, I like what that person did. And I like what that person did. And I don't know, this is just kind of lazy, you know, instead of coming up with your own version of it. You know, and then not giving credit.
Yeah,
that's I think lame. Is messed up. You know, I mean, you can kind of like, you know, it's kind of like a cover. You know, there's some people who they'll make it they'll go 100% their interpretation of the song. Like, you know, they love the song so much, you know, it has special meaning for them. You know, they love that song so much that they want to do their own interpretation of it as almost as to honor it. They're like, you know. Versus there's some people that's just like, I just want to use my voice to do the cover because I love it so much, you know, but give credit.
Right.
Give credit. But I've seen a lot on Instagram, like, you know, someone will, you know, there's a video, they'll, you know, they do their creative thing and then other people are basically copying it. And I'm like, if you're going to do that, I mean,
shout out to
like this person because I really liked what this person did, you know, and inspired me that I kind of wanted to do something like that. Because there's some images that I see that I'm like, yo, that's something that I actually wanted to do. And, you know, someone did all the work.
Yeah, exactly.
And you see it and, you know, so it's kind of easy to kind of just being like, oh, that's what they did. So it's kind of like, oh, they answered all that for me. Let me do it again. Then I'm like, you got to give credit, though, because exactly. That person did all the work, you know. And I feel like inspiration, I feel like when you're inspired by something for your project, I don't know. I feel that if you're inspired by something, that's not the center of your whole project. I feel like it's inspiring your idea and you needed inspiration kind of like, you know, as a resource to finish that project, you know, which is, your idea, you know, because there's times we get stuck. So we do need something that's, you know, that's outside of us, you know. That's why if I don't know how to work with color, like, see this? You know how I got these colors?
Tell me how you got them.
My pants.
What? The same ones you're wearing now?
Because when it starts with colors, it's like, I have to kind of see it. Especially with color combinations. There's times I'm like, I don't know what color schemes I want to do. So there's times I have to look at something and I'm like, I actually like the colors of the blue, the red, you know. So I'm just like, okay, I have these markers, you know. I like how these colors look together. I'm like, okay. So it's kind of like I used it as a guide for when I got like frustrated instead of being like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore because I'm not good at just being like, kind of used it as a reference, being like, you know, I actually like how this blue looks with this orange right here, and it's a little bit spotty, you know, has some darker oranges in it, so let me focus on this so I can just keep going. So as an example, I feel like that's what inspiration is, you know, seeing like you see something and you're just kind of like, yeah, that's actually what I was looking for, that's actually what I wanted to do, and you kind of can use it as a reference point.
That's well said. So I hate to put you on the record / on the spot here, but what's next for you?
Next for me, well, tonight going to sleep so I can get up to work early.
That's probably a good idea.
Right now, I am artistically, there's one art piece that I sold because a lot of my stuff is on paper.
Right.
So I sold it.
Yeah.
And I had it. Yay. Can I just tell you how excited I am about this? Okay, so I actually drew this piece with like the intention of like selling it because I was drawing it. I'm like, I really hope someone buys this because one, I need money. Support artists.
Support your local artists, man.
Yeah, like support your local artists. I was doing this and I was like, there's times I'm like, I need money coming in. So I was like, you know what? I've sold pieces before and I was just kind of like, just take that leap of faith. So it did get sold. However, a lot of my stuff is on paper. And so when I went to get it on canvas, so it came out, like, it didn't mess up the illustration, but it kind of came out bumpy. It didn't come out smooth. Mm. And so I'm like, all right, I got to be real with myself. I have to draw it again. So this is another learning thing. I'm like, I have to be okay with having to recreate my work, because I should take pride in it. I should be like, it could be the best that it can be, you know? So I have to be okay with, I'm always going to do creative work, but there's times I'm like, all right, I got to recreate this drawing, you know? So that's what I'm doing next. And then right now I'm just, I'm taking an online drawing class. So I used to do, in high school, I took art classes a lot. And so right now I'm just more like, all right, you want to start being real stuff. I want to start, playing with bigger sizes, making bigger pieces. And I got to just go back to, practicing like my realism drawing skills and things like that. So just taking this time to learn the basics with drawing, with my acting, I'm going back into auditioning. So I'm like, I need new headshots. So right now, Word. When it comes to making money, I'm like focused on like, all right, this, I'm doing this extra shift so I can pay for headshots. And then, yeah, just kind of right now, just strategizing, being like, all right, what TV shows I want to be on? What do I have to do that? You know, so that's kind of where I'm at right now. And then you ever like feel like with creative stuff, like you get signs that you have to get back into this certain, like,
yeah, you can't leave it alone for too long.
Yeah, because the other day, like, people like have been like basically reminding me like, you need to get back into your writing.
Oof. Who did that?
Well, so far, like, people are like, I've been, I just met someone and she was like, she's like, do you have a web series? I was like,
whoa, so already speaking, yeah, Netflix, I was just
talking to her, and she's just, because I told her as an actor, she's like, so do you have like a web series? Do you have your own scripted thing? And I was like, no. And she's like, nah, like, she's like, I can really see you doing that, which is something I actually thought about, but I'm like, oh, there's too many web series. Nah. And then someone at work, he was like, you know, it's just something that they asked me if I was doing something, which it wasn't exactly what I was doing, but it reminded me I need to get back into my writing. You know, that's, they're real. Like, so do you do stand up? I'm like, that takes two. I'm like, that is brave. That, I don't got that in me, but I'm like, but it reminded me, I'm like, this is something that I am good at, and it is something that I always thought about. And so there's times I'm like, I'm taking it as a sign, I'm listening, you know, because I used to write plays.
There you go.
You know, so I'm just, so there's times like, you know, something that you want to do, but you kind of need, just sometimes in art, you need inspiration from an outside source.
It's real.
And there's times I'm like, being real. I'm like, yeah, that's something I really wanted to get back into and find that part of myself. So I'm like, all right. I'm like, I've kind of been living in fear too long. I just got to do it. Just find that system and just do it. Doesn't mean, I'm like, people don't have to see it, but just working on that consistent system, because I feel like it goes back into consistency. I'm like, that's what I got to work on next.
Bingo. So tell the people where to find you, where you'll be in the next few weeks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
To keep track of all that I'm doing, it's just best with Instagram. Keep me on your feed. It's A Rose Burgos, AROSEBURGOS. I post all of my artwork and also like my acting stuff, whatever comes up. It's always like on Instagram. That's the best place.
Good. Now you've got another account to follow the moment you're done with this episode. Alyssa, thank you.
Thank you so much for the time. It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. You can get in all the fun too. You can make sure to follow me on Instagram _sometimesjr, on Twitter n_ASONYE. Hit me up, talk back. You can also leave a message on the Anchor app. I take those voice messages to heart. If you got ideas, if you want to criticize, if you want to hop on the show, you know, we can work. I'm flexible. I'm getting a little bit more durable. We can make these things work. But nevertheless, thanks for joining us. See you in another 2 weeks for another fantastic episode. Alyssa Burgos, thank you once again.
Thank you for having me.
See you next week. Psych, week after that.